Release 4 is here, and this one stretches from modern military encounters all the way back to the very beginning of the UFO era. We've got 23 new videos, 3 NASA images, an unidentified object tracked near the Pantex nuclear weapons facility, range fuller reports from military aircrew, secret discussions at Los Alamos, early project sign analysis, CIA files, and a major review of Project Blue Book. NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman has now openly acknowledged that NASA has captured imagery it still cannot explain, while Dr. Phil McGraw, a member of President Trump's Religious Liberty Commission, has also commented on the release. But what is actually new in this release? What looks genuinely interesting? What may have an ordinary explanation? And what is simply old material being repackaged? Let's go through Release 4 and separate what matters from what does not. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and Release 4 of the UFO drop files tranche, whatever word you like to use, is finally here. It dropped on the 10th of July. We're now about 8 weeks on from drop number one. And once again, there's quite a bit to work through. And hopefully me doing this show helps you kind of wade through the good, the bad, and the ugly of these drops. So on this one, there was 23 videos, a couple of images from NASA, and a selection of new and historical documents, and some comments accompanying the release from various officials. And as always, I want to approach this carefully. Something being included in these official releases, clearly we know at this point, does not make it anomalous, ET, or evidence of something non-human. Oftentimes, it seems quite the opposite, let's be fair. Some of this material is interesting, especially a couple of the videos. And again, I'll stress, that doesn't mean I think they're alien or they are NHI, but I think there is some stuff that clearly looks interesting and warrants further investigation. Perhaps a job for Avi Loeb's Scientific Advisory Board coming up. So it's difficult to assess even some of it, and I'm not going to go through all 23 videos. I've picked 4 to show you some clips of, because there are some of them that are clearly just dots and blurs, and some of them you can't even really see what's on the screen. But I'm going to show you the stuff I think is worth taking a proper look at. Before we get to the files, I'm going to just share some comments with you from Dr. Phil McGraw. Yes, that Dr. Phil from the long-running Dr. Phil show. There is also a political connection worth noting here. Dr. Phil in 2025 was appointed by President Trump to the Religious Liberty Commission, not one I was aware of, I'll be really honest. Now, that commission was tasked with examining threats to religious freedom, preparing recommendations for the president, and advising the White House Faith Office and Domestic Policy Council. So he's not just another big celebrity lending his name to the release. He's recently held a formal advisory role connected to the Trump White House, and that's worth touching on. So here's what Dr. Phil had to say, and I'll bring the comments up on screen for those of you watching over on the video platforms. So Dr. Phil says, "You're hearing this from me first. I was granted early access to the newly released UEP documents, and one pattern jumps off the page. These objects have been showing up over our nuclear facilities for 77 years. Here's the record. 1949, Los Alamos, after multiple green fireball sightings near nuclear facilities, the military convened a scientific conference to determine if they were meteors. Dr. Lincoln LaPaz, the foremost expert, said no. They flew horizontally, silently, and at constant velocity. The conference's greatest concern, they appeared most frequently over nuclear sites nationwide. 2015, Amarillo, Texas. A UAP violated the sealed airspace over Pantex, the heavily guarded plant where America assembles and disassembles nuclear weapons, seen by multiple personnel. The release also includes Project Sign's 1948 Progress Report, the Air Force's first formal UFO investigation, launched after Kenneth Arnold's famous 1947 sighting and Roswell 11 days later. Hundreds of cases studied, rapid climbs, hovering, abrupt reversals, saucer-shaped craft. A 1948 air intelligence study acknowledging at least 210 unexplainable reports, hours of Apollo 17 crew debriefs on firework-like particles observed during their missions, FBI and CIA witness reports focused on national security concerns. This isn't speculation. It's the government's own documentation, and you're seeing it here first. The pattern continues around the world today." So on that one, folks, it's not the first time in the last, couple of years the UFO topic or UAP topics had a big name celebrity, of which Dr. Phil is, whether you like him or not or whatever. A lot of folks kind of see him as the Jerry Springer type guy of medicine and online and whatever you might think of his TV show in the past. I've only ever seen clips, but I get what he does and what he done. He's still a big mainstream name that is now attached to the UFO topic, interestingly being given early access to the UFO files before they came out. So you can look at this a few different ways. Have we got a celebrity with an interest? And he has had Lou Elizondo on his podcast about a year ago, I believe, in this topic. He's also got that religious advisory board connection, which is interesting. And then you've got the idea that he's either just interested on his own, or is he being giving these files, given the audience he has, the platforms he has, and the eyes and ears he can get on this topic? I think it looks positive in that sense, that perhaps they are, whatever you think of these releases, perhaps they are trying to get a bigger public perception and awareness on this topic. Because Dr. Phil is speaking quite well, and he's not being derisory or joking about the topic yet, and he's put a few clips out on his socials as well. Now, maybe he's just looking to jump on the bandwagon, get the views, get the clips, get the likes and the engagement from it, because it does sell on social media, the UFO topic. But maybe we can't always be pessimistic, and we should look at this as perhaps a positive that we've got a big name attaching himself to the UFO topic. So I thought that was interesting. There are 23 videos. Let's go to the videos first before we look at the images then the documents, okay? And I'm giving you a high-level overview on this. I would stress folks should go and check these out on their own. Have a look through. I get not everyone has time for that. I put a 10-minute highlight reel. I think the videos would last about 25 to 30 minutes if you strung them all together and never cut anything out. I've put like a 10-minute highlight reel of the videos on the YouTube channel, so folks can check that out. If you're listening to this on the audio platform, I'll describe what's in the videos for you as best I can. Of the 23, I think there are 4 that are worth showing you on this podcast. And that's not because they aren't all interesting or there aren't more interesting videos. I just think the quality is very mixed. And that's been the case with all these drops. I think that's very much common. That's a common thing we all have with these drops, is they have been mixed. You might think largely bollocks. You might think they've been largely good, but it's still not completely positive or negative either way. Some of the videos are really hard to make anything out from. Others may appear quite prosaic, to be honest, or have little to no context behind them. Among them, we've got the usual suspects: distant black and white footage, FLIR imagery, small dots, and I mean small dots moving across the screen, and objects where there's simply not enough visible data to make out what's actually even happening on screen. And I'm not going to play, like I say, all of those clips, just a couple that I've picked here for you, 4 of them altogether. I rated them just for everyone's, if you're interested to know, and you're watching and listening to this, so hopefully you are. I watched them all yesterday, and I rated them 1, 2, and 3. 1 being not worth my time. 2 was kind of interesting, but I would have to go back. And 3 was the instantly jumped out at me as worth showing and discussing. And there's 4 that are rated as a 3. That's how I kind of planned this in, folks, if you're curious. And one of the biggest problems still with these releases is the lack of supporting information. I would love to see names attached to who got this stuff out, why it was decided to release this stuff. It's still such a jumble. I mentioned, you know, the old TK or TJ Maxx, depending where you're based. It seems like you've got a whole clothes rack of top. Some of them are just cheap crap, and there's the odd gem in amongst it, but it's just been thrown out for you to go and find yourself. And I feel that's what we're still dealing with these releases. So like I say, there's not a lot of sensor data or data in general. Even yesterday, I was starting to go off of the war.gov website and look through some of the detail around the video, what it tells you. But even in those, it will say, for example, 0 to 7 seconds, sensor picks up artifact on screen, 7 to 45 seconds, sensor captures for consistent period, 1 minute 12 to 1 minute 19, continues till goes off screen. It's not even worth me reading you that stuff. It would just become so pointless. And I'm trying to keep this as interesting and, you know, entertaining for those who are looking to listen to it and watch it to keep your attention. So what makes it difficult to separate a lot of this stuff from unusual balloons, unusual aircraft, unusual drones, reflections, artifacts, and whatnot. So let me have a little look here with you folks, and we'll play the first video. So again, here's one for you on screen. It reminded me immediately of the old tic tac, you all got it video that so many folks know and love by this point. It's very much black and white, small object flying across the screen. It looks like it's being shot from above, potentially could be looking down at clouds or looking across at clouds. So it's difficult to know, is this being pointed from below, shooting up, from above, looking down? There are perhaps more information on that. I couldn't see it at a glance, folks. But yeah, it's an interesting object, clearly flying at speed. I don't think it's a fly in front of the camera, for example, but pretty interesting. Could be a really cool drone or something to that effect. So that was the first one I thought was worth having a look at. The second is a very quick shot of the sky being filmed, and an object flies at speed towards a camera and out of shot. So again, it was a really quick video. Looking at the clouds, the camera rotates, and then you see an object come towards the screen, all of a sudden appears, and bang, it flies past at an incredible rate of speed. So yeah, if you're watching it, they're clearly aware it's there. They know it's there because the camera's filming nothing, and the slow motion shows you it does zoom past at quite the rate. For me, that's not a bird. Could be an incredibly fast drone. Could be some kind of craft. I'll just put it out there because I need to say it could be. I'm going to save the best of the videos for the last one. So here's the third of four that I found interesting. Camera is filming what looks like a patch of sky with nothing really in it. I'll skip forward. And then we start to see a lot of redactions happening on screen, which is always easy, which is always great. But then it picks up an object on screen that it boxes. Again, it's so small though, and I wasn't sure with this one, but the movement seems so erratic for a long time. It then appears to hover steadily, but whether that's just the camera capturing the object, looks like you could say saucer, you could say tic-tac. It's clearly moving at speed, whatever it is. It looks like cloud cover in the background, but it's flying along at a rate of speed, and they keep going from that white hot to black hot, whatever you would call that. So again, pretty interesting. When they zoom in on it, looks like it may have a little bit more of a shape, triangular-ish, but it's hard to make out completely on that one. But I thought that was a relatively interesting video. Again, it's one of those you would really love to see or hear more of. And the best of the videos for me, because we get such a clear zoom, is this, where it looks like almost like a pillar with a kind of mushroomy head. We see a couple of what looks like lights on it. Could be reflections of sunlight, I don't know. But then the camera zooms in and we get what looks like a really quite clearly defined shape. I've seen people posting online it's like a balloon or a pig balloon potentially from Minecraft or something like that. I can see why they're posting it, but I'm saying this one's interesting because it's got quite a clearly defined structure. So putting it back on the screen, I'm going to pause it. But I know there's folks have said you can kind of see the pig head here, you can see the snout, and then underneath it looks a bit different. I don't know. Other folks are saying it looks more like one of the Star Wars drones, you know, like you see in the movies. It could be, for me, it strikes me some kind of drone, US or foreign national, I don't know. But really weird looking. Is it some kind of Minecraft or pig-like balloon? I've seen people saying it looks like a Pumbaa balloon from The Lion King. I'll let people make up their own mind. I'm just sharing it because it's so clear. I think we should be able to work that one out. But it does look odd. That's the thing. The rest of the videos, that there are, again, a lot of lights on the screen. I don't know. I really don't know on those. But if anyone finds some really interesting stuff on that, I'd love to know. Comment below. Remember, watching this on YouTube, please leave a like and a comment on the video if anything you found interesting. If you didn't find interesting, I would love to know, but the likes make a huge, huge difference. So if you've watched this, at least make sure you like and subscribe. Same on the audio platforms, folks. Liking, sharing, leaving reviews make a massive difference to me and help me out in making the podcast grow as much as I can. But I want to know your thoughts on these videos. It seems to be quite mixed, and I think I've seen quite a lot of folks say the videos on this have been a little bit better. I'm still not massively impressed with what's coming out, but it's my job to cover it for you. So as well as that, folks, there were a couple of images released from NASA. You'll see on screen now, if you're on the video platforms, this is it's labeled NASA UAP D030 STS-80, Unidentified Object, Image 1, 1996. So what it says in the caption is, during STS-80 between November 19th and December 7th, 1996, the astronauts aboard Space Shuttle Columbia captured a series of three images of an unidentified object in low Earth orbit. In the first photograph, the object is visible near the center of the frame to the right of the limb of the Earth. I'm just going to put the one image on because two of them are really similar, and one of them I can't find the image personally in the screen. It must be so far away. Now, there are some folks who say it looks like a wedge, like a triangle type object. I imagine when the occupants were filming this or taking photos of this stuff, I imagine it's from a camera though, where they've filmed it, not just a still image, but hey-ho, we've only got still images, that they have potentially seen it in much, much clearer. I know some folks online have said that astronauts have since said that it was ice crystals or pieces of debris in space. That's always going to be said when it comes to these types of photographs. But it does look like there is an object. Whether it's tiny, whether it's large, we don't know. Again, context is king with this stuff, folks, and we are lacking it so badly when it comes to these drops. I'm as frustrated as anyone else, because am I looking at a genuinely anomalous craft of some sort here? Or is it a piece of plastic or, you know, debris floating in space that just gives it some kind of weird perception? I don't know. I'd love to know your thoughts on this kind of stuff. NASA images are really interesting. I think actually what's come from this, more interesting than the images, it's a little story that I think is pretty interesting given the timing. So we're not looking at a level of information being given here by NASA at the moment that shows anything extraordinary. However, NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman was asked about UFOs, UAP, government files and such on a podcast recently in the last couple of days, and this has gone viral. Now, he pushed back on the suggestion that he dislikes the topic, pointing out one of NASA's central questions is, are we alone? Isaacman spoke about telescopes, samples from Mars, you know, various possibilities that within our lifetime, there are things that could point to life being far more common throughout the universe than we currently assume. But he did make an important distinction. He said, when it comes to flying saucers, crash spacecraft or hidden bodies, he has not personally seen evidence of that. And I wouldn't expect a NASA administrator to have seen that. What he did acknowledge, and this is what went viral online, is NASA's captured imagery, where based on the information contained within that imagery, they simply do not know what it is. And that's probably the most reasonable way, I think, for anyone to approach these images, especially from a professional standpoint. Unidentified doesn't mean ET. It simply means they don't have enough information to make a reliable identification. And that's fine. I'm really comfortable with that. But I want them to at least acknowledge these images exist and then do the investigations off the back of it. We live in a world now with mobile phones, ring doorbells, military sensors, satellites and other imaging systems. We're seeing some incredible images coming out from wars over the last couple of months and years. Horrifying, usually. But we see incredible clarity, don't we, quite often? And that frustrates us, given what we get when it comes to UFO stuff from a government, that they must have better. We know they have better. And, you know, if we just had some of that stuff, which is what we hope the Scientific Advisory Board is going to get a hold of, but we, you know, they're not getting anything classified, then, you know, we're kind of stuck with this at the moment. It remains unidentified, and NASA's probably going to keep that stance. But is this, again, like a Dr. Phil here with the Isaacman, the NASA administrator, is it a little step forward, a baby step forward, perhaps? He suggested that some cases could be important for reasons that have nothing to do with ET. They could represent a new capability from another country, perhaps involving AI, advanced manufacturing or propulsion or another emerging technology. So, again, that's fine. And even a lot of the times, the space shuttles, you know, the live feed that everyone loves to look at, when that shuts off, there can be technical problems, but quite often we hear that something comes into view. I am quite happy to say that quite often I imagine it's probably some secret US technology or satellite or another country's technology that they're like, don't have that on screen. That's not to say it's always the case, and that's important to say. We don't need 100% of these things to be something interesting. We need one or a couple of percent of these things, of which I believe is the case, to be interesting. So the better question is not, is this alien? The better question is, what additional data right now do we need to turn more of these cases from unidentified to explainable? That's where we are right now, folks, for me anyway. again, I genuinely would love to know your thoughts. If you're sitting listening to this and you're not on YouTube and can't just comment, if you're on a platform where you can't comment, drop me an email. Use the contact form on the website. I am making a point this week of getting back to folks. I'm sorry if I've not done that for a while to you. I am very fortunate to be really busy with people getting in touch with me. So yeah, excuse me, folks, if I've not replied, but I do want to hear your thoughts on these drops and more. Stick a question in those correspondence while you do it. As well as the videos and the images, the documentation has been a big part of this as well. Now, I have not gone through all of the documentation. There's a lot to go through with these, and I've managed a high-level overview. So looking at it, we've got 14 document files in this release number 4, and it's important to be clear about what's actually represented. It's not 14 new UFO cases or big revelations. It's a mixed archive, again, covering more than 70 years from the earliest days going back to the 40s, you know, that flying saucer era through to the more recent military and nuclear security incidents. So the standout modern document comes from the incident I mentioned very much earlier on in the show at the Pantex nuclear weapons facility in Texas in 2015. So the case will tell you an unknown object was detected by ground surveillance radar, observed by security personnel, viewed through binoculars and tracked using a remotely operated camera system. Witnesses described a small and unusual object, with some describing it as diamond-shaped or tapered. Images were sent to Sandia National Laboratories and the evidence was eventually passed to the FBI. However, the object was reported as moving slowly, it did not approach sensitive assets, and it was not considered threatening. That means an ordinary airborne object, including a balloon, potentially can't be ruled out. There's also 3 Range Fowler reports from military crew in 2019 and 2020. Range Fowler is often used for craft or objects approaching areas of sensitivity and other, you know, it's used a few different ways, but it's kind of like saying UFO, essentially, without saying UFO. These documents show pilots and weapons systems officers using a formal process to record unidentified objects encountered around military training areas. One of the objects was described as small with a reflective or metallic underside. Another was dark or maroon in colour, irregular in shape and potentially balloon-like. So these reports are interesting because they show unidentified objects entering a formal military reporting system, but the released versions, what we are getting, are short, heavily redacted and don't provide enough information for a strong conclusion. Historically, one of the documents and the strongest documents is from 1948 and the Air Force. And naval intelligence analysis covering approximately 210 flying object incidents. Now, the analysis noted similarities between reports, recurring descriptions, and the credibility of witnesses. They concluded that at least some of the observers appear to have genuinely seen some type of flying object. That can't, again, though, be misinterpreted as they saw something alien, but they saw something that was almost definitely strange or at least they are not a balloon, not a misidentification. The report considered balloons, rockets, experimental aircraft, natural phenomena, and possible foreign technology. Much of the analysis reflects the early Cold War concern that the Soviets may have been developing unconventional aircraft or weapon systems, and we know that was the case going back through from the early World Wars. I talked about this with Pavel on the last news update. Aviation folks from the early 1910s through to the 40s changed so much so quickly that just carried on through the decades, and surely a lot of these will be perhaps testing of craft, both, you know, domestic and foreign. Another fascinating file recorded a classified conference held at Los Alamos in February 1949. It documented how military officers, Atomic Energy Commission personnel, FBI reps, and scientists met to discuss strange green fireballs being reported over New Mexico. This is what Dr. Phil was talking about in his post, and the meeting included Lincoln LaPaz and Edward Teller. Participants discussed whether the sightings could be unusual meteors, chemical effects, or some other physical phenomenon. The long, apparently horizontal flight paths and lack of expected sound were among characteristics that were found difficult to explain. The meeting did not reach any artificial or extraterrestrial conclusion, but it shows how seriously they were taking these reports and how seriously this was being treated, even back then in a very sensitive region of the US where atomic energy and atomic weapons were being developed and being researched. So the project signed material on top of that shows the Air Force collecting and comparing reports going back to the late 40s. Remember, the US had no interest in this topic. We were always told until we found out they did. So officials, they were recording claims about discs, oval shapes, hovering objects, rapid climbs, speeds going from slow hovering to supersonic flight and beyond. It shows the Air Force was already treating the reports as genuine intelligence and aviation issues potentially shortly after this whole modern UFO era began in the late 40s. There's a large collection of material as part of these documents connected with Project Blue Book. One of the files covers how the scientific and institutional reviews of Blue Book was being treated or operated during the 60s. So the review of that acknowledged some cases remained unexplained and that the investigative process needed improvement. I mean, what's changed then since the 60s? Our investigative process clearly right now still needs improvement. Scientists recommended better collection of information and more rigorous examination of selected questionable cases. That is literally still where we are now. So in 60 odd years, how far have we actually come? And that's what really needs to be put now at the feet of Avi Loeb and his scientific council. We've been here. We have had this. Can we please move on? How can you move on? How can you keep the same level of standards up? Because they have to improve. And that's their job now. That's their job to do that. Other documents as part of this, again, because it is a mix of DOW, CIA, FBI, the CIA assessments of unusual aircraft are from the Soviet Union, Canadian attempts to develop disc-shaped craft, and Blue Book correspondence are all in there. The overall takeaway from the documents is fairly straightforward. There's no confirmation here of recovered craft, legacy programs, really, that I can see. Other better researchers will no doubt find something. But there's nothing about non-human bodies, occupants, reverse engineering. The documents are all about continuity. We've got Project Sign, Los Alamos, the 40s, 50s, 60s, Pantex in 2015, the nuclear connection going right the way through the decades. The idea that some of these or many of them will have prosaic explanations is certain, but some of these are clearly unidentified, exotic. And that's the stuff that I'm sitting here saying to you once again. We're getting this documentation and it just keeps seeming to reaffirm the same thing, that there's something at least in part going on here, which is strange, which is worth explaining, which is worth investigation. Is drop 5, 6, and 7 going to be the same? I said to you, drop 3 would tell me largely the direction that this stuff was going. Drop 3 to 4 doesn't seem to be any different. I really want to see where we go next with this. We still seem to be waiting on whatever this thing is that was in Grush's 60 to 90 day window, because I think we've only got a couple of weeks left of that window, folks. So that's me looking at drop 4 for you. I hope it was at least informative and it lets you know roughly what's in there. Some of you researchers and the folks with a little bit of time to do so, dig in, see what you can find. I look forward to seeing folks like Richard Doland and others, what they have managed to find in the detail within some of this documentation. But there's nothing really newly declassified here. Many of these documents have either been around before. Some of them are declassified back in the 80s. Nothing mind-blowing. You would have known that much earlier if there had been. But again, it's another drop of UFO files, videos, documents. Where does this go? I don't know. I'm asking you. So there we go. Like, comment, get in touch with me. Please, folks, let me know what your thoughts are on these and where we are right now as we head into the middle of July in terms of the UFO topic. I think this is still going to be a newsworthy month. Let me know your thoughts. Next up on the podcast, I'm interviewing Chris Ramsey of Area 52, and I'm really intrigued to hear his thoughts on that. So if you've got a question for myself and Chris Ramsey, drop it over. Let me know. Big week of shows coming up in the next few weeks, as always. And anyone who cares to or can support the show, signing up to a YouTube membership over in Patreon, Apple, Spotify, any of those is greatly appreciated. But again, interaction, engagement, liking, sharing, let me know what you think of the podcast in the comments is all massively appreciated. So yeah, hope this has been useful for you. This is how I've spent my Saturday afternoon recording this for you, and look forward to speaking to you all again very, very soon.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.